Well, good morning. We're starting a few minutes late here, but praise the Lord. We're going to start off with Send the Light. Glad to have Miss Karen with us. There's a call come ringing over the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Amen. We'll sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4 of Grace Greater Than Our Sin. marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today. Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Amen. We'll sing all five verses of Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. We've known brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Miss Karen. Welcome, Pastor Steve.
All right, church family, good to see each and every one of you this morning online. And it was great to do the Bible study with you again on Wednesday night. And we continue on with the live stream services here at New Hope Baptist Church. When are we going to get back to being together? I don't think anytime soon. Let's wait and see what the governor says tomorrow, and then our city and county and local officials. We may, you know, end up doing this for another month. I just don't know. Don't have any answers for you as of yet. I do know there is one church down the road that is meeting today, and I'm just praying for them. You know, I'm praying for them. There are other churches in the community that are doing these drive-up services, and boy, that just seems like a seems like you're opening Pandora's box. So, I don't know. You just keep praying that we come up with a vaccine. Pray that everybody stays safe, and just keep praying. Amen. If you have a copy of God's Word, take it and turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, as we continue to take our break on our series of messages through the Gospel of Matthew, getting to preach on some subjects and things I believe God is laying on my heart for you as a congregation. James chapter 1, we'll begin reading here in verse 21, and we'll take it through verse 25. James chapter 1, and we'll read through verse 21 through 25. Hopefully you've had an opportunity to find that. James chapter 1, New Testament, verse 25 through, did I say verse 25? Verse 21 through verse 25. Amen? All right, so here we go. James chapter 1, the Word of God reads this, beginning in verse 21. God's Word reads, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls." That's a good gospel proclamation right there. The gospel will save you, amen, if you'll receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Verse 22, this is where it gets to the nit and the grit, the nitty-gritty. "But prove yourselves," this adversative conjunction, "but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man." Notice it doesn't say a woman. It says a man. "He is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror." Verse 24. "For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was." Verse 25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed." Get that. "This man will be blessed in what he does." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, as we continue to live stream here at New Hope Baptist Church, and as we are thankful for the visitors that are watching with us online and our church family that are watching online, Lord, we pray that our hearts would be open to receive, and not only just receive, but Lord, apply, and not only just apply it, but do the Word of God. We want to do it. We want to live it. We want to be it. Father God, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the presence of your Holy Spirit here with us in this service this morning, here with the people that have tuned in, that are watching online, listening. Father God, thank you for your presence, and may your Holy Spirit convict, and may he charge, and may he change, and may he, Lord, put us in the direction that we need to be going in when it comes to the very Word, the very living Word of God. We pray for those that are listening today, Lord, that may not know you as their personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, we pray that this would be an opportunity for them to receive you as Lord and Savior today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us, Lord. Thank you that we have the technological ability to get your gospel out, get your word out, get your message out today, this morning, right here, right now. Thank you again for what you're doing, for what you want to do. We praise you in advance, Lord. We just worship your holy name for who you are. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Well, this morning we find ourselves in the book of James, an incredibly practical and important book for our very spiritual lives, the book of James. This message this morning is about applying the Word of God, applying and doing the Word of God. And as we think about applying God's Word and doing God's Word, we can rejoice together. We can rejoice together over the internet, over whatever. We can rejoice together in how the Bible came from God, how it was assembled by men and translated into our own language so that we can read the Word, right? We can read it so that we can receive the Word by the person of the Holy Spirit, so that we can carry God's Word in our hearts and ultimately, by the Holy Spirit, obey the Word of God and thus do it. But if we do not obey the Word, if we do not obey the Word, then all of those other things about how God sent the Word and about how the Holy Spirit through men put the Word together, all of those, how it's been translated into our own language, all of those other things are really irrelevant for us. Irrelevant. See, the incredible potentiality of the Word does not make any difference to our lives if we're not attempting to do it. And thus, for many Christians, saved folks, these are saved folks, and for many Christians, the truth of God's Word, time and time again, informs them, but the truth of God's Word really has not done anything to transform them. It has informed them, but it has not transformed them. Oh, they've received the gospel. But as far as growing in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, as far as being discipled as a follower of Christ, they're still on the milk of the Word. They've not got to the meat. Making sense to you today? I hope it makes sense to you this morning as we go through this. See, one of the great lessons of the Christian life that we have an opportunity this morning to grasp, especially during this shutdown COVID-19 time in all of our lives that we're going to remember for the rest of our lives, is that doing God's Word, applying God's Word to life, is really the ends to the means of listening, the ends to the means. Doing God's Word is really the ends to the means of listening. In other words, if all we do is listen to the Word of God, if that's it, then we're woefully missing the point of the Word's transformational power. Its transformational power of our lives. We're missing that. And friend, you've got time to really dig into that and think about that. And most folks have time to do some real struggling and some real coming to grips. Most folks during this COVID shutdown time have the time. I mean, you can't say you're busy anymore. You can't say you got all this going because you don't. It's shut down. Most of us have a lot of time to pour some energy, to pour some spiritual thought, to pour some prayer into making some great gains in our discipleship with the Lord, if we will. If we will. I want to share with you four things about this passage today. Four things about it. Number one is a warning against misuse. This passage is a warning against misuse. If you go to the store today with the appropriate PPP on, or no, I just said that wrong, PPE on, personal protective equipment. So you've got your mask on. Perhaps you put your gloves on. You say, what store are you talking about? Well, they're all closed except for the home improvement store, right? Me and the wife thought we would go and get just a few things from the home improvement store yesterday. What were we thinking? We thought, well, we won't go to the Lowe's down here on 249 because that's always just packed out without COVID-19. We thought we'll go to this new Home Depot that's not too far from the house on Kirkendall. So, you know, not very too many people know about the new Home Depot. Well, that's crazy thinking. Now, we drove up in the parking lot. They've got pop-up tents along the front of the store, and they've got pop-up tents in the parking lot. And I go, what are those pop-up tents for? What in the world is that? And so we get out, and we're going into the store, and there's a lady, and you know what she's doing, an employee at Home Depot? She's counting how many people come in the store. And I guess they get to a certain limit, and then they start lining you up 6 feet apart outside. And then when that line gets so long, they break the line, and the rest of the line goes to these other pop-up tents in the parking lot, and they just make this all kind of crazy line, and they get people in and they get people out. Well, when we went in the Home Depot, we thought, well, okay, so they've got people at the doors. They wouldn't let you come in the garden section. Had to go in the front door. We were there to get some garden stuff. Had to go through the front door. I guess somebody down here at the contractor's entrance and somebody down here at the garden entrance, somebody right here at the front entrance, they're all on an app. And they're clicking it, who's coming in and who's going out. And by the time we got through, the line was starting to build. Crazy. So if you go in with your PPE equipment, your personal protective stuff, perhaps you wear your gloves, and you purchase a product, right, a home improvement product, you get a tool or you need some kind of appliance, it's essential, you got to have a refrigerator, you got to have a washing machine still going on, You're probably going to find a warning or a caution label or a note on the side of the package. And those caution labels can be useful. But let's think about before all this started, back when life was a little more normal. And those caution labels that you find on the different products that you get from Amazon, you pick up at Target, Walmart, and all those places, some of these warning labels are really ridiculous. Let's think through it for an instant. For example, on the side of a baby stroller box, those little baby strollers that you push around, well, wasn't that today, right? There is this warning. You know what it says? It says, remove child before folding. Really? Yeah, you got to get the kid out of there before you fold it up and put it in the back of the car. Remove the child before folding. On those sun shields, remember those sun shields? Now they've got them where they kind of spring out and you fold them up. They used to be cardboard and accordion together. On those sun shields that you put in your windshield to protect your car from the sun, there has been the warning. Don't know if they make them on that anymore, but it used to say, don't drive with sun shield in place. Really? Yeah, you got to put that on there. On a toilet bowl cleaning brush, a brush that you use to clean your toilet bowl, the warning reads, not for oral use. You're not going to brush your teeth with that, right? On a Bic lighter. Light this lighter away from your face. On the package of a rain gauge, there was this comment, suitable for outdoor use. Yeah, that's right. On a 500-piece puzzle, it said, some assembly required. And I love this from the manual of a chainsaw. In this manual of a chainsaw, it says, do not attempt to stop the blade with your hand. Yeah, you don't want to do that on a chainsaw, right? And finally, on the package of little juggling balls, there was this warning. It said, this product contains small granules under 3 millimeters, not suitable for children under the age of 14 years old in Europe or 8 years old in the United States. 14 and 8. Now, that is proof that our children here in the States, this side of the pond, are able to digest 3 millimeter granules a whole lot easier than the kids over in Europe. We just got a better handle on that, right? I don't know what that means, right? The reason these labels exist, the reason we have these labels on everything that we consume and buy, bring home tools and things for the kids and toys, things we get off Amazon, the reason these labels exist is because manufacturers produced a product that they thought was pretty straightforward, but along the way, something went terribly wrong. Someone opened a package, started using a tool, playing with a toy, and began to use the product in a way in which it was not intended, which I'm sure led to some sort of catastrophic problem, and then probably led to a lawsuit along the way. So the manufacturers decided they needed to clarify against liability with these warning labels. So when we look at this section of Scripture, when we look at the book of James, our passage this morning in James is a warning label. You get it? It's a warning label. James is writing to inform believers how the Word of God is intended to be used. Now, half-brother of Jesus, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he obviously knows enough about human nature to realize that there is a great tendency for us to mishandle the Word of God, to misuse the Word of God. The warning, we see the warning of it. Do not merely listen to the Word. Do not merely listen to it, but prove yourselves doers of the Word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Verse 22. James is writing this passage to a predominantly oral culture. The printing press has not been invented. If there's a copy of something, somebody has meticulously sat down and copied it by hand. And so, you didn't have a copy of the Old Testament that you could just whip out and go to the Torah or this or that. No, those things were prized. So if you wanted to hear the Word of God, you had to usually go hear somebody speak the Word of God in some kind of a service. James writing this passage to predominantly oral culture. People would receive the Word of God by coming and listening to other people. None of them had what? None of them had Bibles. None of them had copies of the Old Testament. So they would receive the Word of God by how? By listening to it. Now, we can apply James's words. We can apply what the Holy Spirit has recorded here for us to our own setting here in 2020 by extrapolating what he is saying. And let me try to help you with that. This passage for us would be, do not merely be listeners or readers of the Word. Do not merely just be students of the Word. Do not merely live stream the Word. Do not merely download the Word. Do not simply post or text the Word on social media. And do not simply look at the Word online. You got to go further than that. Got to go further than that. See, James's point is that merely listening or hearing or receiving the Word of God into your life is a step in the right direction. But if you do not make the second step of doing the Word, then you will find yourself on troubled ground concerning your own spiritual life. We've got, number one, a warning against misuse. Number two this morning, we have the consequences of misuse. That's point number two, the consequences of misuse. What's the first consequence? The first consequence, self deceiving. Verse 22, I've already read it, but I'll mention it again. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Self-deceiving. Verse 22, second half of verse 22, merely hearers who delude themselves. Well, my Bible doesn't say that, Pastor. Well, the word for delude, or if you have the word deceive in your Bible, means to cheat or to falsely reason. It means to convey truth to misunderstood or to misunderstand. See, when we simply listen to the word or simply read the word and it stops there, we cheat ourselves. Why would you cheat yourself? You don't want to cheat yourself, do you? But when we listen to the word or simply read the word and that's all we do with it, we cheat ourselves. Let me tell you something. The word of God can warm your heart without ever moving your soul. Number two, the word of God can inform your mind. It can inform your mind without transforming your life. Number three, the word of God can educate the sinner. It can really educate the sinner without eradicating sin from a person's life. The word of God has the potential to make a person theologically smart, biblically informed, and yet while the person continues to grow in their mind, they can be left immature, they can be left unmoved, and they can be left unchanged. These individuals can have a false sense that they have gone farther in their spiritual life than they really have gone. In other words, a false sense they are walking with God when they are not. They are self-deceived. They are self-deluded. Simply taking in the Word, simply opening your Bible and reading a few passages from Scripture can really be quite self-deceiving if that biblical intake, if the Scripture coming in, does not result in any action, does not result in any obedience, does not result in any kind of a ministry. It gives you a feeling that you're growing. It can give you a feeling, even though that you're maintaining, when in actuality, you're not doing either of those things. You're self-deceived or self-deluded. So what are the consequences of misuse? The first one is being self-deceiving, merely hearers who delude themselves, which means also what? The second consequence, no life change, which means no transformation, which means no discipleship. No discipleship. We have to realize that the act of listening by itself does not lead to life change or transformation. It takes something from us that must be done. Something from us. Now, I am highly directionally challenged. What does that mean? I get lost very easily. Very easily. Now, there's a new thing in town that's been out for a while called a smartphone and GPS. Wonderful, great things. Oh, my goodness. And so now with a smartphone, I can really look like I know what I'm doing. And I have some directional sense. And what I do on a smartphone, or I do it on my laptop, and it immediately transfers to my Google on my smartphone. I type in an address and two points on a map, a starting address and an ending address. You've done this. You know what I'm talking about. And a road map. I'm able to access a road map on my phone. And that road map can tell me how to get to where I want to go. Turn by turn. I mean, turn by turn. And it gives you audible cues. Turn here. Turn at the next. I mean, it's amazing. turn by turn. It gives me distances between the turns. It gives me a total time to get there, along with the miles driven to get there. But you know what? As amazing as that is, as detailed as that is, with all the instruction that is in that, my phone cannot literally take me there. My will and my little body has to put the little Volkswagen diesel into drive, and my will with my little body has to say to my leg and to my foot, get off the brake and push the accelerator, and my will and my little body has to grasp the steering wheel and go down the road and stop at the stop sign and turn the left and turn the right and merge onto the freeway and all of those things. It takes the will in this little body to make that happen. In the same way, having head knowledge about the words on the page does not bring about life change. My life will only change when, by the person of the Holy Spirit, I read the map and exercise my will, influenced by the Spirit of God, to follow the directions of the map of the Bible to get from point A to point B. I hope that makes sense for you today. The warning against misuse, the consequences of misuse, and thirdly, we have an illustration of misuse beginning in verse 24. Let's look at that together. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. The illustration of misuse. Jesus uses the illustration via the Holy Spirit through his half-brother James. He uses the illustration of a man who goes and looks in a mirror. Now, mirrors were designed to reveal what? They were designed to reveal imperfections in the person looking in the mirror. They were designed to reveal what needed to be changed on an individual. And I'm so glad it says a man and not a woman. Boy, that would get me into hot water already. So this man is looking into the mirror. But the mirror does not have the power to change the looker, the one looking into it. The mirror informs the looker, and then the looker has the perspective to deal with the change that needs to take place, like washing their face, or trimming their beard, or combing their hair, or getting the pieces of food out between one's teeth, right? That's what the mirror is able to tell us. But just looking at the mirror, just staring at the mirror, whether we stare at the mirror for 10 minutes at a time, or whether we look at this mirror and then we go to the next mirror and then we find another, whether we look at 100 different mirrors, taking no action does not change the person's appearance for the better. In the same way, if a person looks into the Word of God and does nothing, they can end up with a self-deceived. They can end up with an inflated picture of their own spirituality, and they can miss the life change that God intends for them to make in the power of the Holy Spirit working through them and their self-will. So, a warning against misuse. Number two, the consequences of misuse. Number three, the illustration of misuse. And finally, the blessing of proper use. The blessing of proper use. Verse 25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. That's amazing, isn't it? He will be blessed in what he does. A gentleman by the name of Bruce Wilkerson once said this. He said, the Word of God may stir your mind and warm your heart and transform your life, but only as you, the individual, only as you combine doctrine and duty. only as you combine belief and behavior. He says the two must go hand in hand. So the next time you open the Word of God, the next time you get down to reading God's Word, I want you to think about two words the next time you open your Bible. Two words. The first word is study. Study. Study is different than just reading. Study is more focused. And this is how James describes the one who does not merely listen to the Word, but follows it. Verse 25, the first half of that verse says, but one who looks intently at the perfect law. Intently, what does that mean in the Greek? Intently literally means to stoop down. Well, what do you mean by stooping down? Well, let's kind of say it like this. It's kind of like a scientist who sees something special. In all of this COVID-19 research, everybody's trying to come up. They think they've gotten close, or somehow they've got it lined out where they've got two different vaccines they think they're developing for this COVID-19. So you've got these scientists that are looking at this virus and looking at how to defeat it. And you've got a specific scientist, and he sees something special in his research. And so he moves down. How does he move down? He moves down by increasing the power of the microscope to get a closer study of his or her specimen, to get a closer study. That is the image that James is giving here. The look that we give the Word of God is not a passing glance. The look that we give the Word of God is not a casual observance. The look that we give the Word of God is not just over our shoulder and saying, well, that's kind of interesting. The look is really digging down and getting a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper. And so the first word is what? Study. Two words next time you open the Word of God. First one, study. The second word is stay. Study and stay. Stay and study. The word stay, what can we say? Well, when we study the Word of God, we want to linger with God's Word. Linger with it. James makes an interesting statement here in verse 25, the second half of that verse. He says, and abides by it. And abides by it. What James is talking about here is that you have to receive the Word. Yes, that's good. That's a good step. And certainly study the Word. Yeah, that's great. You got to study the Word. But you really have not studied, nor have you given evidence that you've received, if you do not stay with your study. When we stay with our study of the Word of God, when we stay with our study, friend, that is when the Word of God can undo us and then put us back together as the Holy Spirit sees fit. You know the passage, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. If we do not stay with our study and look deep, then we end up falling for substitutions. We end up falling for imitations of really doing the Word of God. I'll give you three substitutions or three, what's the other word I said? What's substitutions and imitations? Substitutions, imitations. Three of them. First, number one, we can substitute interpretation for application. Oftentimes we do that. We substitute interpretation for application. We read a passage and we study it a while and we dig it out and we are blown away. We are blown away by the interpretation and the information that the interpretation gives, that we simply miss the application. Preachers, yours truly, the person standing up in front of you today, preachers are really guilty of this one right here. Substitute interpretation for application. Number two, if we don't really stay with our study, number two, we can substitute this for really doing the Word of God. Second, we can substitute rationalization for repentance. rationalization for repentance. We rationalize instead of repent. How does that work? Well, we read a passage. We study a passage. We have a sense that the passage is calling us to change. We have a sense that God's Word is charging us to do something. The Word is pushing us forward in our spiritual journey, in our spiritual life. But what do? We begin to rationalize. And we say, you know what? I really appreciate that text. We may say this to our Sunday school teacher. We may say this to our Bible study leader. We may say this to God in our inner voice. We start to say stuff like, but you know, God, my life does not really fit squarely with this passage. And while I can appreciate how this passage will ordinarily apply to people that I know, this part of your word is not exactly precise for me in my life. And so what do? We end up stopping short of the true repentance that God requires of us. We stop short. That's not doing the Word of God. Oh, there's been some emotional energy that's gone into it. There's been some dialogue that has happened because of it. But there's not been true repentance. Some imitations or substitutions that happen to us when we do not stay with our study. Number one, we can substitute interpretation for application. Number two, we can substitute rationalization for repentance. And number three, we can substitute an emotional experience for a volitional decision. Emotional experience for a volitional decision. It's kind of similar to the first one. The first one we looked at. This is when you experience an emotional reaction to what you have read in Scripture. Your heart is warmed and you feel overwhelmed by God's grandeur, by God's majesty. But once you step away from the Word, your life has not changed. You have not made a conscious decision to alter your behavior. You've not made a conscious decision to change your walk with God or to increase your walk with God. You remember, you look back on these times, these emotional times, as powerful encounters with God, but you look back and you realize that they were incomplete. They were incomplete to bring about the life change that God was looking for. What did we say at the beginning? Doing God's Word is the means of listening to God's Word, right? Doing God, that is the outflow of listening, or should be. So let me try to help you out here and give you an example of stay. The two words that I ask you to think about next time you open the Word of God are study, and the second one is stay. Let me give you an example of what stay looks like. Imagine you're reading God's Word, you're in the Word of God, and you come across a passage that really speaks to you. Let's just make it about a guy again. Leave the ladies off the hook here. Let's just say you're a workaholic father. You're a workaholic man. And this passage opens. It opens you up to see. You're seeing for the first time that you're working too much and that you really need to spend more time with and invest in the lives of your kids. You need to do that for eternity's sake. You need to do that for their spiritual growth. You need to do that for their emotional well-being. You see that in the Word of God. And so as you study the passage, you say to yourself, I agree with this passage. I agree with it. Well, my question is, has this individual, have they applied the passage? Let me give you the short answer. No, they have not. They have not applied God's Word. What if in the study of this passage, they not only agree, but they are convicted by it. They are convicted by it so that their heart is moved and their heart is grieved. The question is, has this workaholic father, has he applied the passage? Uh-uh. No, he's not applied it yet. No, this guy's got to go a little further. What if this individual, this workaholic dad, with these kids that he's under conviction about and the Word of God, What if he says, I not only agree with this passage, I'm convicted by it, but I'm going to do something about it. Has Dad applied the passage yet? Not yet. Nope. He's decided to decide. He has decided to make a decision, but he has not done anything yet. Getting close, but he hadn't quite got there. What's the point? The point is you have to stay with it. What do you say to yourself? Workaholic dad. Here's what I'm going to do. This weekend, I'm taking my kids to the park. Everything is shut down, but I'm going to take my kids to the park, or we're finally going to pull out that 500-piece cat puzzle, and we're going to put that cat puzzle together. I don't even like cats, but we're going to put that cat puzzle together on the coffee table or the dining room table. We're going to sit down. I'm going to pop popcorn. We're going to get pops. We're going to do this puzzle. Has he applied the passage? Not yet. No, he's not applied it yet. What if he goes up to his kids' rooms? He goes up to those kids' rooms and he says, I've got a great idea, kids. We are going to the park this weekend, or we're going to put the puzzle together, or whatever it may be, to which his little kids, they jump up and down on their beds, and they say, Yay, Daddy, you are totally awesome. Has Daddy applied the passage yet? Not yet. But you know what? Daddy's really getting there. If Dad continues to stay with the Word of God that initially convicted him and moved him, guess what's going to happen? He is going to sit down with his kids and spend the time with them. And when he does that, he's applied the passage. Does that make sense? He's done the Word. He's doing the Word of God. He abided in it. He studied it, and he stayed with it. He stayed with his study to the point that he did the Word. I hope you see the point today. Well, what's the point? Well, many times we can go part of the distance. Part of the distance, and that feels like application. But a lot of times that's just a substitution, or that's just an imitation. We've not yet applied the Scriptures. And so the point is this. We need to stay with it. And we just need to stay with it. And as we continue the process, and it is a process, of doing the Word of God, we need to stay with it. Continually stay with it. And we need to find. We need to have the discovery. And we need to get the blessing of finding out how the passage via the Holy Spirit works its way out in my life, in your life, in our lives together. So, making sense? I hope so. I leave you with this. A lot of cartoons and a lot of old movies on at the time. No new sporting events. Everything's rerun of this and a rerun of that, and a rehash of this and a rehash of that. Perhaps you've seen or you looked at or you pulled out an old DVD or it popped up on you and you watched it. You remember the story of Snow White? Beautiful story, isn't it? Beautiful cartoon, old Disney film classic. Remember the mirror in Snow White? The witch would come and say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And sometimes the mirror would tell her exactly what she wanted to hear. But then there came a point, because mirrors do not lie, that the mirror told her, you're not the fairest. You're not the fairest of them all. And rather than receiving the truth, the witch walked away furious. The witch walked away missing an opportunity for her life to truly be changed. And so James's words for us today are a caution for us. James tells us that if you linger in the Word of God at any length, like a mirror, it will expose and reveal what is true and not true of our lives. The mirror of God's Word will show us. It will show us who we really are and who we are really not. Who we really are and who we are really not. At that moment, that we see the truth of God's Word, we have a choice. We can either reject it or we can respond to it. Reject or respond. If we respond and begin the process of application, the process of doing God's Word, working through the conviction, dealing with our grief, confessing and repenting of sin, and then deciding, and then telling and testifying, and then planning, and then finally doing the Word of God in our lives, then in the words of James, we will be blessed. We will be blessed. I don't know about you, but in this time and age, I don't know who does not need a blessing. We all need a blessing, right? We all need a blessing. Let me tell you something. We will find gladness and delight in the life that God has planned for us if we will attempt the process of doing God's Word. So my prayer for us today as believers in Christ, is that we not merely be hearers and receive the Word of God, but that we find ourselves in process becoming doers of God's Word, and that we receive all that God has prepared for us for here and for the hereafter. Amen, church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your Word, and we thank you, God, that we can certainly hear it. And Lord, we want to receive it. But Father God, we want to go further with it. We want to be doers of it. We don't want to be self-deceived, God. We don't want to be stuck in a spiritual rut where we're not growing and being discipled. God, we want to do your Word. And so often we get full of our head knowledge, and so often we get all Bible studied up and this and that. And Lord, it never leads to much. Never leads to much. Lord, we don't want to be little. We want to be much when it comes to doing your Word. So God, help us. Help us look at this passage in James and help us internalize it and help us find the balance in it. Lord, we got to be doers. That is the ends to the means of listening. Lord, we pray now for those that need to make decisions for Jesus Christ, those that perhaps need to receive the gospel of Christ. Lord, I pray that your convicting Holy Spirit would squeeze their hearts. And Lord, they would not be able to shake the fact that they need to receive you as their personal Savior and Lord. Father God, I pray that they would text me or call me on the phone. And Lord, we'd be able to talk about this. And Lord, I can point them, I can steer them via the Word of God, the Romans road in the book of Romans, what it means to receive Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Not a Baptist thing. It's a Bible thing, God. We want to all see our lost friends and family members and co-workers and neighbors and schoolmates. We want to see them saved. Lord, we want to see them saved. We pray for that. Some we can even lift up by name that we want to pray to see saved. Father God, we thank you again. We pray that you keep us safe. We pray a hedge of protection around each and every person. We thank you, Lord, for our health care workers. We're praying for Miss Terry as she's up in the, just in the middle of it and there in Central Park, New York City. Pray a hedge of protection around her and Samaritan's Purse. And Lord, all those that are associated with our church that are in the healthcare industry and healthcare workers, Lord, we just pray a special hedge of protection around them. Thank you, God, that you've protected the membership of New Hope thus far. I pray that we would continue to be safe and be mindful. Lord, we would wash our hands and keep our distance and not touch our face, eyes, nose, mouth. Lord, help us be diligent. Help us be safe. Father God, we know this too will pass. We don't know what date will be we get to come back together, but Lord, I pray when we do get to come back together, it will be a great high time, a holy time, an incredible worshipful time. And Lord, we will be able to hear testimonies of how people, your church, has grown in their fear and admonition of the Lord. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for the convicting power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, may we make the adjustments. May we make the changes. May we do what needs to be done so that we can be the disciples that you've called us to be, created us to be, saved us to be. Thank you again for all you do. It's in your name we pray. God's people said, amen.